The contribution of women to the first century of photography has been overlooked across the world, including in our country. With few exceptions, photographic histories have tended to focus on the male artist. Now, a new book, Through Shaded Glass, has unearthed a large and previously unknown number of women photographers who operated in Aotearoa between 1860 and 1960, including Wahine Māori photographers. The author is Lisa Mitchell, who's a curator of historical photography at Te Papa, and she's with us now. Lisa, tēnā koe, ko Dale, tēnā. Nau mai, hana mai, te tuene, tēnā koe, Lisa.
Morena, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us, and I'm just having a look at the pukapuka on the net too. I'm, like many others, really intrigued by historical photography, and it's an area that obviously you enjoy too. You've discovered that in the 19th and early 20th century, Māori women, far from only being in the photographs, were also behind the camera. Can you tell us a little bit more about them, Lisa?
Yes, it's been quite an exciting revelation. I set out to find out about the contribution of women and photography here, and was amazed how many I found, and delighted to find Wahine Māori amongst them, at all levels of making photography. So running studios, running their own studios, and also working in other people's studios and managing the rights of other photographers. One of the earliest I came across is Isabella Sellers of Ngāti Tirangi. She married the photographer Charles Spencer and was probably involved in their studio, as was common generally for wives to be involved in studios. They were family businesses, not just run by the male operator, from 1879 in Tauranga.
Why have you focused on this period, 1860 through 1960, Lisa?
I felt that coming up to the present would mean that this rather big section of history would end up being one or two chapters labelled the pioneers, and I didn't want to do that to these women. I think their stories need to be heard. They've always been part of other people's stories or hidden, and so I thought a whole book was a pretty good way to go, and it's been very rewarding.
How many photographs feature in the pukapuka?
Around 250.
Stunning. It's such a glimpse into yesteryear. I know some of them are dramatised, but some of the real life imagery, well, you just can't replicate, can you? And extremely valuable. As Māori, these are taonga for us, especially if they've got images of our tūpuna, which many of them will have. Can we flesh out a little bit more about Māori and our connection, particularly Māori women in this case, with the camera and with the photographic skills needed at that time?
Sure. One of the most interesting is Katharina Iha, who was of Ngāpuhi, and she ran a studio in Kaikoi from 1892 for about 2 years, with her daughter assisting her. She was married to Pākehā, George Hansard, and he had other interests, business interests. This was quite common amongst couples in the 19th century, that they would have multiple businesses. So Katharina and Aneta, the daughter, ran the photography studio in Kaikoi, which was reportedly very popular, and they were very proud of the business. That would involve taking the photographs, so processing negatives, arranging sittings, and dealing with the customers. But also, once the photograph's taken, it's not like today. There's a lot of manual work in presenting the finished print to producing it and presenting it to people. So that's got to be processed and printed, trimmed and mounted, perhaps retouched or hand-coloured. And there's a beautiful example of a portrait, probably, which is of Aneta, probably by Katharina in the book, that's been hand-coloured. So that was one of their skills. And later, when they were down in the South Island working in their business in Dunedin, they operated a photography studio and a school of photography where they taught people how to do these skills. It was quite common for particularly women to want to learn the skills of retouching or hand colouring or both photographs, and then could get employment themselves in studios. So that was something they did in Dunedin when they were down there.
I'm interested in the Kaikohe model with this Māori photographer. I mean, I'm curious myself anyway, to be honest, Lisa, about how our people felt about photography. I've seen some images on a documentary, I think, and some guy took a Polaroid up into the Papua New Guinea hills, and you know, they had hardly met Pākehā, let alone seen a photograph. And when this imagery come up, they were startled, and not necessarily in a completely good way too, because it was almost scary to them that some of their soul had been stolen. You know, and I wonder, you know, how our wahine approached this. And the other interest I'd have was whether it was mostly portraiture or our wahine were out photographing social events, which can give us a nice insight into real life in those times.
Well, I've come across this mixed views on how Māori responded to photography. Of course, everyone felt differently about it. I have noticed that with the wahine Māori photographers, they tended to be involved in commercial photography. So this was a situation where people who wanted to be photographed went to the studio. So they weren't out, you know, taking photographs of people in a random manner, if you like. So presumably you were giving your permission, you were commissioning the portrait, right? So you wanted it. So you obviously were happy with that. And Katerina, though, took landscape photography as well around the northern region. There's some of her images that don't survive, as far as we know, in print form, but only as reproductions in the Cyclopaedia of New Zealand from 1897. She takes views around the harbour areas around Whangaroa, and also a pātaka at Kaikohe, which possibly, you know, whether that still survives, I don't know. Yeah.
Women and photography, it's a pretty fascinating area. We see sort of a trend too in the late 1800s of sort of romanticised postcards with the, you know, the Māori maiden in Māori land, and these were intended sepia tones to be sent back to the old country, I guess. So there's been a sort of checkered history. And then, of course, in more modern times, we've got Arne's style, which I really love Arne's work, Arne's Westra's work, because it's, you know, people aren't looking at the camera for the most part. Which differed in the early days of photography, didn't it? It was a very staid sort of approach to the photographic process, for the most part, certainly in portraiture.
Absolutely. I mean, there were reasons for that. You needed to stay still for so it didn't appear unfocused or, you know, blurry if you moved. So, and because it was taken inside, you needed more light as opposed to being outside. So, yeah, that meant people had to sit still more. So it has, a more stiff appearance. Unsmiling, people often say. There's a lovely portrait of Makariki of Te Arawa in the book, which I found in the National Library collection, where she is smiling at the camera and holding her own camera, a Kodak autographic camera, and that was taken in 1910 in Sydney. So that was a revelation to find Makariki had her own camera and was taking photographs, and one of those is in her book, The Old Time Māori, which was published after her death.
It must have taken some real painstaking and meticulous research from your end too, Lisa. Can you tell us about the process finding out about these largely forgotten histories?
Oh, it's been a real detective job. I joke that I've been doing other people's family histories for the last 10 years, digging in as much as I can, but often following the lead of a photograph with the name on it as a maker, and or references to people in papers past and the newspapers, historical newspapers on the papers past website that National Library run. It's an amazing resource. But also just browsing a lot. I read a lot of old photography manuals and magazines, and that's how I found the one of Margariti, actually. It's an Australian published magazine, so it's only held in the full run in the National Library of Australia, which have it digitised. But they had her name as Maggie Papabura. So I was able to find that by just browsing the issues and then contact them and have the name corrected. So it's now findable via search.
Tēnā koe, Lisa. Well, look, the book looks really great. Through Shaded Glass, Women and Photography in Aotearoa. It's just been released, and Lisa is the author. How many images? Oh, you did mention a couple of hundred images. How many photographers are featured in the Puka Puka?
There's just over 190. Only 8 of them are Māori, but I think there's more there, and there's certainly more to find. And I hope this inspires people to pick it up and find out more about these wahine Māori.
You've seen...
And find some of their photographs. A lot of their photographs are lost currently.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely meeting you, Lisa. Look, I'm assuming, because of your mahi, you would have cast your eyes across some fantastic photographs over the years. You know, you're on a Māori radio station. Do any stick in your mind as an image that was quite arresting when you saw it for the first time that had sort of aspects of Māori life or Māori imagery? Does something that you've come across over the years stick in your mind?
Oh, too many to mention just one, but I would go back to the one of Margariti with her camera. I mean, that said it all, finding that, and that she's a maker of photography, not just the subject, and that, you know, that was a big important aspect of her mahi as well, not that just that she was in photographs. It's really important.
Sounds interesting, and you know, I sort of envy your work. I think it must be quite amazing delving into the photographic history of our country. What's next for you, sister? What's going to drive you forward? You'll do the rounds with this Puka Puka, which is cool. Well, what else have you got in your to-do list, Lisa?
Oh, keeping on with this at the moment. I want to follow through with a lot of the loose ends from this, but also update people, all the people who have offered information and things, just go back around to especially the archives and museums where material isn't well documented, and offer back what I found, make sure they've got that info so they can update their records so these things aren't sitting there with unknown maker.
That's great. It's really nice talking with you. Thanks for sharing some cordial about some of your findings whilst putting the book together. Lovely to have a cordial with you, Lisa. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Tēnā koe.
Ngā mihi.
Great, ngā mihi.